You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, at times we feel angry because of injustice. You can purify our heart and bring justice into the world. So help us repent and to act and behave more closely to how you would call us. Amen. During these 4 weeks, we are discussing how we can work with people. It's not always easy. Last week, we explored the fact that too often we distract ourselves from the way that we feel, and that keeps us from authentically connecting with others. The key is to let ourselves feel. However, when we do this, sometimes we don't feel good. We might feel angry. John the Baptizer was angry. He was angry because of injustice that he experienced in the world. John the Baptizer was a country priest. And one of the things that made him angry and one of the injustices that he saw was city priests at that time and how they were behaving. We can hear his anger when he sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to the River Jordan. He calls them a brood of vipers. He probably did this because at that time, some of the Sadducees were a little too cozy with the political power. They were too close in John's eyes to King Herod, to the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, and by extension, the Caesar, the emperor of the Roman Empire. John would have been critical of the flow of money that the priests received and benefited from the subjects, the people. John would have seen them as hypocrites. John wasn't the only one. There were other people that felt called to leave the city and to go into the wilderness to live a more holy and pure existence. These people at that time were called the Essenes. And they strived to follow God's laws as closely as they could and to reject the modernizations happening because of Rome and influence. One such community that existed in the wilderness was called the Qumran community. At the Qumran community, we have made one of the greatest archaeological discoveries in the modern era. You might have heard of it as called the Dead Sea Scrolls, made a few decades ago. The Dead Sea Scrolls are a collection of ancient scrolls that are the Bible. And they have been so valuable in helping scholars of many different traditions understand the Holy Scriptures and history of that time. These were John's people. But something different happened to John because he didn't just live in isolation. He was called by the Holy Spirit to start a public ministry located near the Jordan River. And he was an incredibly powerful preacher, calling people to first repent in their behavior and their actions, and then to symbolically show this in this baptism in the river. John was so famous that not only do we remember him in the Bible, but he is also recorded in history books from that time. The great author and historian Flavius Josephus wrote about him in the book Jewish Antiquities, book 18, chapter 5, section 2. Josephus writes this about John the baptizer. When others too joined the crowds about him, because they were aroused to the highest degree by his sermons, Herod became alarmed. Eloquence that had so great an effect on mankind might lead to some form of sedition, for it looked as if they would be guided by John in everything that they did. Herod decided, therefore, that it would be much better to strike first and be rid of him before his work led to an uprising, than to await for an upheaval, get involved in a difficult situation, and see his mistake. John the Baptizer was killed by King Herod. John the Baptizer personally suffered from injustice. He was a holy man preaching repentance, calling people to be faithful, and he was killed because of it. Now, we might think that John the Baptizer could have been filled with bitterness, rage, or cynicism, but he wasn't. His anger didn't give way to those things. Within John the Baptizer, there was hope. John preached that there would be a purification of hearts and a hope that was coming into the world. John said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Matthew chapter 3. John is talking about the coming of Jesus. Jesus is the one who with a winnowing fork will clear his threshing floor. The threshing floor that John talks about is the human heart. Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit and a spiritual fire, has the power to purify every human heart. He burns the chaff, which is the sin and the injustice and the pain that's in each human heart. He burns it and cleanses our hearts, and he preserves the wheat, the grain. He preserves peace, hope, faith, and good deeds that flow from our heart. And as each heart is purified and given hope and injustice is removed, then justice can flourish in the world. Larger problems can be solved. Hope can come to those who suffer from injustice. Before John the Baptizer died, he spent time in prison. And while he was in prison, we read about in Matthew chapter 11, hear this, when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Matthew chapter 11. You can imagine John the Baptizer bound and chained in prison hearing these words. You can imagine him being filled with hope, being filled with a peace and a joy that this movement of God's justice doesn't end with him. Even though his days are numbered, now Jesus walks the earth and ushers in a greater flow of justice. John is a part of a movement greater than himself. Justice is at the heart of Jesus' ministry. And so John's final days in prison aren't filled with remorse and bitterness. They're filled with hope and joy. We can learn from John the Baptizer the power of repentance and joy even in the face of injustice. John calls us from the wilderness to repent. We may not be able to wave a magic wand and make feelings of anger just disappear overnight, but we can take action in how we live in the world. And that's what John means when he says to repent. We can change how we work with people and have more fruit that comes from our labors, more justice in the world. John said this in the wilderness to the people at that time and to us even today. He said, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance." Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptizer talks about cutting down trees that don't bear fruit. Imagine that your life, and in particular, your brain, is like an orchard, a collection and a gathering of trees. Each tree in this orchard is a pattern of behavior that you have in your life. There's a tree, a pattern of behavior about how you wake up in the morning, your morning routine, what you do. There's a tree that corresponds to how you interact with customers at your work. There's a tree in this orchard that has to do with how you eat dinner. There's lots of trees in this orchard. Each tree corresponds to a pattern of behavior that you have in your life. And this is actually fairly realistic. Neuroscientists that study the brain, and as technology improves, they can watch our brain as we think thoughts and carry out patterns of behavior. The patterns of neurons firing in our brains look like trees branching out and connecting all over our brain. And now think about this. In your life, each tree, each pattern of behavior, ask yourself which ones bear fruit and which ones don't. If you have a pattern of behavior, a habit, that doesn't bear fruit, if it doesn't give you positive results, John already tells you what to do. The axe is lying at the root. Cut it down. Prune it. The owner of an orchard doesn't have the luxury of wasting space, and we don't have the luxury of wasting our lives or our brains on patterns of behavior that don't bear fruit. We may not be able to change how we feel at any given moment, but we can reasonably choose how we respond, how we behave. John calls us to repent. That means to pay attention to our behaviors, to consider which ones yield positive results and which ones don't. Cut out the ones that don't. Stop doing those things. That is what repentance is all about. And we can do that because of the profound faith we have that Jesus is bringing justice into the world and purifying our hearts. He gives us the strength to choose how we behave. And when we do this, it will help us in how we work and interact with people in our lives, whether it's at work, at home, at school, at church, anywhere. But I have to say, this is only half of the equation. Last week and this week, we talked about how we feel working with other people. We haven't yet discussed what do we do when we encounter other people's feelings. And that will be a topic for next week. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for John the Baptizer who teaches us to repent, to trust that you are a God that can heal our hearts and give us a joy and hope even in the face of injustice. Help us to listen to our feelings, to keep awake. Help us prepare for your presence in our lives. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast. And if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.